Bonus chapter. Foxies. For more than three decades, I've helped local advertisers earn better results. It's basically all I've ever done in my professional life. Obviously, it took years to learn all the lessons in this book, and my real-life advertising PhD really kicked in when I started traveling the country in 2005. But I've always had a pretty good handle on what works and what doesn't for local advertisers. So I'm going to reach way back to the early days of my media career to share a story that pretty much sums up so much of what I've written in this book. It was the early 1990s, and I was an account executive for a classic rock radio station in Rochester, New York. The station was a dominant powerhouse player, featuring the city's big morning show personality. At the time, I was a member of a local tip club, a group of non-competing business folks who met weekly to share leads, tips, and local insights. At one particular tip club meeting, it was shared that a shuttered suburban nightclub in a tiny suburb called Scottsville would soon be reopening under new management as a strip club. That got my attention. Not because I enjoy strip clubs, I don't. In fact, I find them rather depressing. However, as an account executive for a classic rock radio station, I actually handled a couple of different gentlemen's clubs in the Rochester market. I visited each one once a week to pick up a check and get the copy points for the next week's commercials. And by copy points, I mean who the national feature act was going to be. Basically, every week a different former Playboy or Penthouse model would appear, and her resume would drive the commercial copy. We insisted the clubs pay cash in advance, and we'd only run their commercials between 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. It wasn't a huge category for us, but we had a few that advertised regularly. Upon learning of this new club that would be opening soon, I made the 45-minute drive to the outskirts of town to investigate. Sure enough, when I arrived, I walked into a flurry of activity that signaled a grand opening was imminent. I asked for the owner and was introduced to brothers Mike and Joe. "I'm Tom Ray with WCMF Radio," was all I said. "Oh, yeah, the Brother Wheeze station," they replied, referencing our popular morning show DJ. "Yeah, we're going to want to do some advertising with you guys." Music to my ears. I sat for a few minutes with Mike and Joe to learn about their plan for Foxies. At one point, I said, "So I assume you'll be bringing in national features each week?" Their answer surprised me. "No, no," the brothers replied. "We're not going to mess with none of that. Only local girls here." Local girls only, at a strip club that's on the outskirts of town, with no national features to drive attendance. That's about as close to three strikes you're out as it gets in the competitive world of local strip clubs. I remember sitting that evening at the keyboard of my Packard Bell, thinking, how the hell am I going to get guys out to this joint? The idea of driving past cows and pastures to see local girls didn't seem like a formula for gentlemen's club success to me. In fact, about the only reason I could think of that would motivate a bunch of guys to make that drive would be maybe if by chance they might happen to know one of the dancers. Wait, that's it. Foxies, where girls from your neighborhood strip. So it was born. I was so excited that I drove back out to the club the very next day to share my idea. The brothers loved it. The week of the grand opening, I grabbed a microphone and the Marantz recorder from our production department and set up shop at the strip club. The brothers literally cleaned out a broom closet for me, and one by one, the dancers would come in, and I'd have them record a line or two. Each girl would give her name, her high school class, and a brief sell line. "I'm Lacey, Fairport High, class of 89. Catch me in the flesh tonight at Foxy's." "I'm Tabitha, from Gate Central, class of 91. I'll make your dreams come true tonight at Foxy's. Throw in a drink special, and the announcer out cue was always the same. Foxy's, where girls from your neighborhood strip. The campaign began with a spot an hour, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m., Wednesday through Saturday. It was an instant success. The very first week it aired, guys were showing up with their high school yearbooks. Calls were coming in every day asking if Ashley from Spencerport High is going to be there tonight. Yes, the names were made up. None of the girls wanted to use their real names. In fact, I only did the broom closet recording session a few times. I realized pretty quickly that sexy on stage didn't always equate to a sexy voice. I ended up using female staffers from around the radio station for future campaigns. I knew the campaign was a hit when I was sitting in a sports bar watching football about 3 months into the campaign, and I overheard a bunch of guys talking. One of them said, "Hey, have any of you guys been to that new strip club yet?" And another one shouted, "You mean Foxy's, where girls from your neighborhood strip?" I wanted to turn around and say, "Hey, I wrote that." I hope this story didn't turn you off. I actually wrestled with including it in the book, but it's a great example of so much of what I know works in local advertising. Target the right audience, focusing on the core, late-night classic rock radio listeners. Deliver the right message, focusing on your one thing, local girls. Do it with super high frequency, a spot an hour. I firmly believe this campaign would work today. The medium might be different. There would certainly be a digital component. Imagine getting geo-targeted with an ad on your mobile device. But the elements of proper target, right message, and frequency still apply. With Foxy's, we certainly created a file in the mind of the consumers. In fact, we moved them from a cluttered file into one only they could own.